Please have your Bibles at Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading from that in a little while, but do have your Bibles ready. And the theme this morning is walking in the Spirit and, you know, looking to God, walking in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And we need the grace of our Lord God for that. The book of Galatians chapter 5 and reading from verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another.
So I'd like you to be taking your Bibles, please. And I need your fingers in three places today. Galatians 5. We won't fully exposit that passage, just dip into some verses, Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 13. Otherwise, all the verses will be on your sheet, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're in a series called Our Home, as we dip into that every now and again. And the title of this morning's message is Children and COVID Craziness. Yes, the COVID is a trial. It's been a trial upon the church. It's been a trial upon the world. And some of the things that have happened have been quite crazy. Let's ask God's help as we get started. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us during the service today. I thank you that we were able to worship in spirit and truth, as was mentioned a number of times. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your Spirit who enables us to walk the Christian life, who is able to show us the right way and the wrong way, to form our conscience to be consistent with the Word of God. And yes, Lord, we do believe that the Spirit-led people are Word-led people also, for the two are together, they are one. And we bless you, Father, now as we come to your Word, open it out to us. We pray for Jesus' glory. Amen. Well, I've got to admit that during these times of COVID lockdown, I went through a period of frustration because of some of the decisions that were being made. They didn't make sense to me. A little bit of irritation there. And when we're irritable, that sets us up for more marked reactions, doesn't it? Sure, but people in general have been pretty hyper during COVID lockdowns and COVID trials around the world. The National Academy of Sciences in the USA says a mental health crisis has emerged during the COVID-19 pandemic. The U.S. Centers for Disease and Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC in the States, estimated that as of June 2020, which is 18 months ago, nearly one-third of U.S. adults were suffering from anxiety or depression. The rates are almost two times higher in young adults. And I couldn't find more recent statistics. We know they are worse. And from the University of South Australia, Professor Proctor says, there is considerable evidence that situations involving unpredictable and prolonged fear, as in COVID, can lead individuals to develop increased hypervigilance. He says increased threat means increased anxiety, and increased anxiety leads to increased hypervigilance, that just wariness, looking out for what would happen next. Operating from a position of hypervigilance, he says, can be protective, but it can also see people misinterpret situations and exaggerate minor threats. then they are increased risk of responding in impulsive and unpredictable ways, says Professor Proctor. Or to put that in layman's terms, you only needed to bump someone for them to become ballistic. Maybe we have lost it once or twice during COVID, maybe more. And we must confess that to be a good witness of the Lord and to bring glory to his name, we must have actions and reactions that are led by the Spirit of God, that are godly, to bring glory to him. Last time we considered COVID craziness, we suggested that there are five crucial responses to the situation at hand, and that will continue somewhat in the days ahead. Five crucial responses, and they're crucial because our responses will either bring glory to God in the right way, or eventually they would bring glory to God in the wrong way. God will have his glory. And secondly, we will want to model godliness to our children, because we want to see our children saved. We want to see them follow the Lord Jesus. It's during these times of testing, like COVID, like other times of testing, that children see if the Christian life really works or not. So today we had two more crucial responses to the circumstances of COVID times. Last time we noted three crucial responses to COVID testing. First of all, an active faith in God. And we looked at the example of Job and the difficulties that he faced. Secondly, we said that there needed to be trust of the word of God. We looked at 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we made the point that in this book here, the Bible, he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that we need to go through a COVID trial. And the third thing we said is wisdom in the options that are before us. And we looked at the example of Daniel and how at times he had to disobey the government in order to obey God. That was principally centered around the word of God. But the two crucial responses to our COVID situation that we need to look at today are principally centered around the Spirit of God. So this is kind of a theme of how to walk in the Spirit in difficult times. So the fourth crucial response to COVID-19 challenges is the fruit of the Spirit in your reactions. The fruit of the Spirit in your reactions. Now, the flesh and the Spirit are in constant conflict. David read for us from Galatians 5 and verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, the Lord Jesus said. That conflict of flesh and spirit only worsens in adverse circumstances like the trials of COVID. Now, to walk in the Spirit, we're going to have to rely on the Spirit. There has to be a humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus, upon his Spirit, if we're going to walk in the Spirit. In that way, we get spiritual empowerment. And Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 4 on your sheets, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, in other words, we can't produce the fruit of the Spirit by ourselves unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we need to abide in that vine, that humble dependence on the Lord Jesus to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And Paul lists in that very passage that David read what the fruit of the Spirit are, doesn't he? We read in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. It is clear that reactions like anger, despair, anxiety are works of the flesh, and they are not fruit of the Spirit. Anger, anxiety, and despair are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit like gentleness, peace, and joy. Reactions of anger, anxiety, and despair indicate at those points we are not walking in the Spirit. We're not walking in humble dependence. We're not abiding in the vine at those points where those kind of reactions occur in our life. So let's look at those three, fear, anger, and despair, one by one, and just see how they're related to a lack of faith, a lack of dependence, a lack of abiding in the Lord Jesus. First of all, fear, which is worry on steroids, shows a lack of belief, a lack of faith. It shows unbelief. Mark 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Fearful indicates some unbelief that God is not control. He doesn't care for me. He doesn't love me in some way. Anger, out of control anger indicates unbelief, a lack of dependence on God, that God is doing the right thing in my life at this particular time. When Moses lost it with Israel, and I can understand Moses losing it with Israel, the Lord said in regard to his anger in Numbers 20 and verse 12, because you did not believe me. In regard to that anger, Moses, because you did not believe me, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And thirdly, that issue of despair, which is discouragement on steroids, it's also indicating unbelief, a lack of humble dependence. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 3, and I believe Jan took us through these scriptures some time back. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, if you haven't got your eyes fixed on Jesus, you're likely to become discouraged and weary in your souls. And if you don't want to be discouraged, if you don't want to get angry, if you don't want to be anxious, you need to have a full trust. You need to have your eyes fixed on Jesus, abiding in the vine in humble dependence. So, brothers and sisters, we're in a warfare. And we need to understand this warfare between flesh and spirit if we're ever going to have victory in our Christian lives. Now, walking in the Spirit takes humble dependence. That's what we've been saying. But this humble dependence is a reliance. It is a rest more than it is human effort. I'm so grateful, David, you chose that hymn, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. Praise God. It would encourage my heart to sing that again today. Relax, dear brothers and sisters, and trust the Lord. He will not fail you. No matter how deep the valley goes, he cannot fail you. He set his love upon you. There is a diagram in your bulletin over on the other side. I hope you printed these up. Have a look at that diagram there. And it shows us, by the way, that diagram comes from Quieting a Noisy Soul by Jim Berg, and some of you have been through that program. If you haven't, please ask me. I'd be happy to lend resources to you so you could go through that. But that diagram shows that unbelief or lack of humble dependence is going to be expressed in some form of discontent. The arrows show from discontent that we can be angry or anxious. You could draw an arrow directly to despair from discontent too. You could add that arrow in. But anxiety and anger will also cause the mind to be grinding and grinding and grinding and lead to despair also. Take time to look through that diagram and the little notes that are there. I hope that diagram based on scripture helps you understand what is going on in your heart and soul, so that you're able to find a humble dependence, trust, and love in the Lord Jesus Christ, an outflow of the Spirit in your life. Now, someone has said, and this is entirely true, you can tell a Christian more by their reactions than their actions. Reactions tend to be less under conscious control. Actions can be very much under conscious control. And you can tell a Christian more by their reactions than their actions. Our reactions in COVID and other trials shows what we are. And so I may ask, dear brother and sister, what are your children seeing? Are they seeing that you have a trust that there is a God who is in control of these things? What are we modeling for them? And I must confess, as I preach these words to you, that I don't always show the fruit of the Spirit in my reactions either. May God forgive me. I'm so sorry, Lord. May you draw close and help me to walk in your Spirit. Whilst Galatians teaches that humble dependence upon God, the book of Ephesians, and I mentioned I wanted you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians tells us that we need to be filled with the Spirit if we're going to produce those fruit of the Spirit. So let's start in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 to read those scriptures. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be controlled by spirits. Be controlled by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, dear friends, you need to be empty. I need to be empty of self. It's another way of looking at the same thing as what we were looking at in Galatians. The ideal is that there is none of self in our lives and all of the Spirit. And we say, who is worthy? None of us are perfect like that, except for the Lord Jesus himself. We need to be emptied and dependent. That's what we're aiming for every day, every moment, to be emptied of self and dependent on him. And how do we get there? I think one way is to hate sin and to love righteousness. Because when you hate sin and love righteousness, you soon realize, wow, I can't do this. I need the Lord. I need to depend on him for everything. The Lord, it says of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 1 and verse 9, you loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Well, when we seek that, we know that we need to be empty of self and we need to be dependent on the Spirit. Then as we are dependent on the Spirit, then we are able to react in the fruit of the Spirit. We are able to have godly reactions during times of COVID craziness. And then the children can see in our lives what the Lord can do. The World Health Organization states mental health conditions are increasing worldwide. There has been a 13% increase in mental health conditions. And they were talking of the period pre-COVID. In the 10 years pre-COVID, there was a 13% increase in mental health conditions. And during COVID, of course, it escalated even more with the extra stresses on people's lives. Now, God warned Israel that departure from him would be associated with mental disorders. Did you realize the Bible said that? I want you to listen to this absolutely stunning scripture when God warned Israel to seek him and not seek their own way. And he warned them if they did not seek him, if they did not trust and obey, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 28, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. That's, dear friend, is mental disorders. It was warned of Israel, but of course the same principle applies to any person on planet Earth and to Christians especially if we don't trust and obey and walk closely with the Lord Jesus. Further, the Bible describes the mind condition of the unsaved man in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, saying, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Futile thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Foolish hearts, professing to be wise, they became fools. Futile thoughts. Foolish hearts. Clearly, for godly reactions, the first thing is that we need to be saved, as I was explaining to the children today. And then, after we're saved, then we need to abide closely. We need to draw close in humble dependence. This is the way of light and clarity and emotional stability to be walking close in dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Now, we've got to say a disclaimer here. There are mental health issues that have physical causes. there are mental health issues that have physical causes, and I'm not talking to that situation as I preach the word this morning. But let me say, even those that have a physical cause for a mental health issue will be helped as they walk in humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus. So now we know how to react well, and so we need to live it. What we're desiring is to walk in the Spirit. We're desiring that as we walk in the Spirit, we model godly reactions. And we are desiring to model these godly reactions that our children may see what what God is able to do in our lives and desire the Lord for themselves. Not only do we model the godly reactions, but we teach the need for abiding. We teach the need for humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus. So the life flow of the Lord Jesus will enable us to have good and godly reactions as well as our children. The fifth crucial response to COVID-19 craziness is love and service in our actions. Love and service in our actions. Yes, and love and service is also a fruit in the sense of it is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And love and service is especially needed because of the self-centered responses that happen during times of trial like COVID. Any time that we're in pain, emotionally or physically, the tendency is to focus in on ourselves. But COVID-19 social distancing that we've been asked to do over and over and over again leads to social distancing. Or we tend to move away from each other. And when the love of God would be causing us to move toward each other. Moving away from each other is what the world does. But the Lord wants us to do absolutely the opposite. Love moves toward people. Love thinks of other people. Love blesses other people. Nor is love academic. It's practical. It's kind. It's patient. It's generous to those around about us. These are some of the practical outworkings of love, which is the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like us to listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that was the other place I asked you to be able to flip to, 1 Corinthians 13. And these verses are well known, but let's think about them again in the light of the present situation and the difficulties, the differences of opinion, and the challenges we have toward each other, even as Christians during this time. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, and we'll stop there. Thinking of COVID, what jumps out at you from those verses? How did the Lord speak to you as we read them? Well, what really jumps out to me is in verse 5, love does not seek its own. That's exactly what's happening during COVID times. Love focuses on others for their good. Love is not focused on self. Love is thinking about others and their needs, and it reaches out to others. Love is not self-protective. Love moves toward others to bless them, even at cost. And love is generous. Because love focuses on others for their good, it is patient with them and is not easily provoked. Because love moves towards others, it is kind to others, and it's glad when others are blessed by God. Because love is focused on others, it is more interested in encouraging them than talking about ourselves. If we're talking about ourselves, that's not love. That's love of self. when we love others, we're focused on them, listening to them, caring for them. Love cares for the other person and so is going to be gracious and polite. But love won't shrink back from the truth. Of course not. Love loves the truth, rejoices in the truth, and is glad to kindly bring truth into others' lives. So love speaks the truth lovingly. Love for God, even in the worst circumstances. And COVID may have been a very hard trial for you, especially if you had other trials going on at the same time. Love for God during those times will enable us to bear the circumstances, will enable us to work through the circumstances, trust God through them, never lose hope, and endure to the end. True love never gives up on people. True love will never fail. God enables us love, but his love in his spirit enables us to keep going. It never fails. What is love if it has no person to love? Love is other-centered and cannot help but carry through into service. Service to God and service to others. Dear brothers and sisters, we haven't had this opportunity very much during COVID. We've got to change gears. We've got to have a change of attitude. And as we come back, we need to be loving others in our service to them. Now, we're going to need people to set up when we go back. We're going to need people to do various roles in the church when we come back. There needs to be a body ministry, hand and feet and head and arms, everybody working together. Already a couple of people who set up before COVID are not able to set up. We need you to say to me, Pastor, I want to love by serving. I want to help by setting up and doing other things. Now, in this, we must swim against the tide. The tide is going towards self. It's pulling us in the wrong direction. Brothers and sisters, we have to get our motivation and our strength from the Lord Jesus. The current of the world is increasingly self-centered. Paul wrote 2,000 years ago of our times in 1 Timothy chapter 3, saying, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Why? "For men will be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy, unloving." That is, unloving toward God and unloving toward others. These people love certain things. They love themselves. Verse 4 goes on, "lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Worldly people are increasingly lacking the social graces of times past because it's self, self, self. So in the darkness of this perishing world, it is a time for us, dear brothers and sisters, to shine. Now, as we can get out, let us shine. Let us hold our lights. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Paul also talked about shining in the darkness. He spoke in Romans 13 and verse 11 saying, "And do this, knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at a hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in self, but in love for others, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Let us shine, brothers and sisters, in this dark world, and it's going to get darker. Let's love, and may that love lead to genuine service. Central Mountains Baptist Church has needs as we come back. This community has needs. We need to reach this community for Christ. The world is perishing, and we need to be crying out, "Flee the city of destruction. Flee this world, flee into the arms of the Lord Jesus." Let's shine in love, and let's teach our children to shine in love. Loving God ourselves and teaching our children to love God are the two most important things that we are to do in this world. And that's exactly what that special passage in Deuteronomy teaches. Let's read it together. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now in those verses, verse 4 tells us to get our theology about God right, to know who God is. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, it says. And then it tells us that we're to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And we're not to fail in this. We're to remember it. We're to hold those words in our heart. And then we're to teach those words to our children formally and intensively, as in family devotions. Verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And then we're to teach of them informally and extensively in the warp and woof of life, as the end of verse 7 says, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. All the activities and business of life are to be opportunities to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. These words, to love God and to teach our children to love God, are to be the very motivation of our hands. They're to be the very thoughts of our minds. They are to be the very way we live in our homes. Verses 8 and 9, remember, say, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the way to live. Love God. Teach your children to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. When Charles was a young boy, he lived with his dedicated grandparents for about 6 years. His grandfather was a pastor, and he'd been a pastor in that same church for 54 years. When Charles was about 10 years old, a visiting evangelist came to that church, and he was surprised at Charles' hunger for the word of God, and that caused him to break out into spontaneous prayer. He prayed for Charles, and at the end of his prayer, he said, this young lad is going to preach the gospel in the largest chapel in the world. And he did. The biographer says at this point, it is worthy to note how many times God reaches down into a godly family line to produce a special man or woman of God. Yes, this person, in the case of Charles Spurgeon, 200 years of heritage lay before him. 200 years before, his forefathers had sat in prison in Holland, in their native land. Those were the days when men and women raised up repeated generations of children who followed the Lord. The Spurgeon family finally left Holland, and they went to settle in free England. So in Spurgeon's life, God used many human instruments to shape and mold that young man. Charles was one of 16 children in a very poor home. And perhaps that was reason enough why he was sent to live with his grandparents for a while. He learned the Bible from his grandfather, who he read the scriptures with morning and evening, and his grandfather would explain the words to him. He learned about prayer from his grandmother. And in addition to his godly grandmother, he also learned from Auntie Anne, who taught him in homeschooling day by day. She was very organized and efficient. He learned things from her. And he also learned love from his grandmother. In that home, there were many things that he learned. In the study, Spurgeon spent hours reading commentaries and theology books. He had chores to do. The cows had to be milked every morning, and there were other responsibilities he had. He learned to be responsible. He learned to serve. The sitting room where people came to visit, there were other pastors. There were visiting speakers. There were young theology students, and they came and they chewed over the word of God, and Spurgeon learned as he listened to them, to understand, to think deeply. There was a special picture that hung above the mantelpiece, a picture of David and Goliath. And Spurgeon, right through his ministry, over 40 years, referred again and again to that picture and what it meant to him. Those years with his grandparents ended, and then back at home, there was poverty. There was work, and there was poverty. He had learned in his grandparents' home to love God with all his heart, the quiet, meditative life. And back home in his family, he learned to serve, to live for others in their busy home. The biographer says, readers are leaders. If we allow our children to read all the books filled with vanity, what kind of leaders will we have? Spurgeon's father provided the best books for his children to read. He was a poor man, but he placed a high priority on quality books and even current books of his time. And Spurgeon learnt there, and he read every year for the rest of his life, Pilgrim's Progress. It's written of Charles that he would sit and discuss theology at the age of 12 years. Now, he may have been precocious. He may have been an unusual one, but we see all this coming through the home. Spurgeon's father worked full time and did the work of the ministry evenings and weekends. There wasn't much time for his family, but his father did make time for family devotions. He was loved and reverenced. The father was loved and reverenced by his children. They looked forward to him coming home every night, and they longed to hear the stories of how God had used him during the day. Oh, how we need to tell those stories of what we did during the day and how God was in those events of the day. Mother was a saintly figure in the Spurgeon home, the biographer records. She brought her children before the Lord in prayer continually. I'm sure the biographer says there were times when she wished the dad was home more, but she didn't become bitter, and she didn't allow that to spoil the testimony that she had before her children, the life and influence that she had on them. She gave herself to the task and received the reward of praise from all of them. The example of this godly woman's life guided the family into the way of holiness. They sat at her feet and gazed at her life and followed, because she followed the Lord Jesus. Why do I give this biography of Spurgeon? For this reason: Spurgeon was prepared for ministry at home. His father, his grandfather, and his heavenly father all had their hands upon his life and oversaw his training. He had the Holy Spirit, and he had the Word of God. Those who are Spirit-led are Word-led, and those that are Word-led are Spirit-led, as David pointed out. He had these abiding in his heart, and that's all he needed. Now, he was unusual. Most of us and need some training, and I'm not saying we shouldn't get training to be leaders in God's church, but Spurgeon was prepared at home. May that encourage you, parents. May you live godly before your children. In COVID craziness, please let your children see the godly way to respond, to react, and the godly way to live in love and in service of others. Spirit-filled, spiritually fruitful. May God bless our homes.
Amen.
Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we pray for our church. We pray for our church as we come back, and we pray for a new beginning, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for a new start. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that it would not be routine in any way. We pray for a joy and a fervor as we come back to meet. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the fire of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us, an outpouring of your Spirit upon this community. We pray for Jan as he comes. We pray, Lord, that he would be especially anointed of your Spirit to take the church on from this new beginning. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for him and see you. And we pray for their home to be a godly home, to turn from all worldliness, to follow the Lord Jesus with all their hearts. May your hand be upon them, and may Lord, you bless the way ahead. We pray, Lord, that you would provide for them. But we pray for our homes. I pray for the parents now. Oh, Lord, may we confess anywhere where we have failed to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, to respond in a godly way. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we may seek by the power of the Spirit to live in love and in service to one another, to bind this church together. Cause the light to shine from us. We pray, please, Heavenly Father, we bless you. Hear our prayers, go before us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.